Case number 08-1066, Eagle Broadcasting Group, LTD, Appellant versus Federal Communications Commission. Mr. Weiss for the appellant, Mr. Armstrong for the appellee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it please the court, my name is Howard Weiss. I'm here on behalf of the appellant Eagle Broadcasting Group Limited. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my allotted time for rebuttal, if I may. Thank you, Your Honors. My client is a small rural broadcaster who lost its only broadcasting license. That license was forfeited, according to the Federal Communications Commission, under Section 312G of the Communications Act. That ruling, that holding, was at odds with the language and plain meaning of the statutory provision, and therefore the Commission's decision should be reversed. This is a simple case, Your Honors. Section 312G reads, and I quote, "If a broadcasting station fails to transmit broadcast signals for any consecutive 12-month period," close quote, "its license expires by operation of law. It is undisputed that KVEZ did not fail to transmit broadcast signals for a consecutive 12-month period. KVZ was on the air from November 2003 to December 2003, prior to the end of the consecutive 12-month period, which is at issue in this case. There is no question about that. The Commission does not dispute that KVEZ was on the air. There's no basis, therefore, for the FCC.
That's not what the statute says, be on the air.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So that's of no moment.
But there's
the Commission knew they were on the air. I could set up a transmitting system in my house and be on the air.
Well, Your Honor, the question, it seems to me, under this, well, the statutory language controls, and your point is well taken. The statutory language says fails to transmit broadcast signals. The court and the Commission have defined the transmission of broadcast signals to be the dissemination of a signal for the purpose of providing it to the public.
By authorized licensees.
Well, I mean, I don't think
otherwise the system doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? We're talking about those who are authorized to do it.
Your Honor, that is not what the statute, the language.
Look at what the statute says. It says if, we're looking at G, right?
Right, 312G.
If a broadcasting station fails to transmit, et cetera, then the station license granted for the operation of that station expires at the end.
Well, Your Honor, they were
directly tied to the license.
They were a licensed broadcaster, and there's no question about that in the record. They were trying to move to a different site some 4 miles away, but they were a licensed broadcaster. And the Commission's argument that the unauthorized operations is the key to the case revolves around the question of whether Sections 301 and Section 303 of the Act would be undermined by a reading contrary to the literal language of the statute.
Well, the literal language doesn't get you. You've just admitted to both of us the literal language doesn't get you where you want to go. So then now we're in Chevron 2. And is the commission's interpretation an impermissible construction?
Well, Your Honor,
you read the statute as a whole. I mean, there's so much case law on this that's not interesting. You don't try and parse it the way you're parsing. You read the whole statute.
Well, absolutely, Your Honor, and it is its license that expires by operation of law, but they did have a license. I mean, the action that they're taking here was moving from one site to another. This is not a pirate broadcaster who was looking to get a license without having the authorization to get the license. This is a licensed broadcaster who was moving to another site.
They were not authorized to broadcast from the place where you say proves the point that they were broadcasting.
But their authorization under 301 and 303, it can be dealt with by other aspects of the statute. There are remedities, there are sanctions, there's short-term renewal.
Does that mean that the Commission is wrong?
It is wrong because of a number of reasons, including the fact that there are other sanctions in the statute that work, including the fact that the language of this statute, of Section 312G, clearly is aimed at the warehousing of scarce spectrum in order to make sure that whoever has the spectrum uses it. And parties who want to use it, if that party doesn't use it, parties who want to use it are able to use it. That's what this statute is aimed at, it seems to us, on the language. The language is that do they transmit broadcast signals? The purpose of the statute is not to be an enforcement provision, as the commission says for 301 and 303. There's nothing in the statute that says that, and there's nothing in the legislative history of 312G that suggests that 301 and 303 work by having an enforcement provision under Section 312G. The other aspect of it is that if
not an enforcement provision, it helps to give. Helps us to understand the meaning of 3OG's reference to transmit broadcast signals.
Well, but there's no nexus. There's no nexus in the statute or in the legislative history or in the way the commission has treated other cases that establishes that those statutory provisions 312G on the one hand, 301 and 303 on the other are connected in any way. Congress said what it said. And the commission is now trying to read in. The commission apparently perceives a flaw in what Congress said. The commission perceives that the language should have said the transmission of an authorized broadcast signal.
So you mean these folks could go anywhere in the country on any bandwidth they wanted to. As long as they got something out over the air, they would have avoided the consequences that are indicated in 312G.
Well, Your Honor, that is, of course, not this case.
That is the question. We don't ask questions unless we think they may help us to understand.
I understand, Your Honor, and I'll address the question. The answer is that for purposes of 312G, that can happen. There are other if
your answer is these people could have gone to New York.
Well, Your Honor, that's a physical impossibility. They could not. You couldn't get a signal into the city of license. There's a commission rule that requires that you put a minimum city signal over the city of license. So the parade of horribles that the commission has in its brief doesn't.
What you're saying is we are looking to see what we mean by transmit, what you're authorized and required to do. You're not authorized to be in a site for which you haven't been approved. You're not authorized to put signals on a bandwidth that you don't have authorization for. I mean, all of those things should be taken into consideration when we say fails to transmit broadcast signals.
Well, right? But there's no mention in the statute of 301 and 303.
Explain to me again then why the New York hypothetical is irrelevant. These same people go to New York and they transmit, and they say, well, as a company, we were transmitting signals. We were transmitting broadcast signals.
Well, Your Honor,
it doesn't matter whether they were authorized or not. We were transmitting, and actually people listened. Some people liked it.
Well,
does that avoid G? Of course not.
It does not. But we have to look at it in the terms that Congress looked at it in the context that Congress looked
at the statute as a whole. That's exactly right. That's
well, the statute as a whole.
And the reason the New York case is absurd is because if you look at the statute as a whole, that can't possibly be what Congress meant to say when they said you've got to transmit broadcast signals, meaning anywhere, anyhow, so long as you same people are transmitting.
But there are other sanctions. There are other provisions in the Act that can deal with the problem of a broadcaster who's saying I'm going to fly for New York.
That's the New York hypothetical.
But there's no indication anywhere that Congress was trying to get at that problem, at that difficulty with this statutory language. There's under Chevron 1, the commission is not permitted to correct, to improve the statute if it sees flaws in it.
Counsel, if your argument is correct, then your answer to the New York hypothetical should have been quick. Like, doesn't matter, they're transmitting.
Your Honor, I thought that can't be. I apologize. I thought that was my answer.
You were saying the New York was, that's good, that's good enough? Really?
Your Honor, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing your question.
You're saying if they went to New York and threw out signals and were heard, no authorization whatsoever to be where they were, do what they were doing, but they were transmitting, that would be enough to avoid G.
I think, yes, that there are other parts of the Act that would deal with the situation. G would not deal with it. G was not, I mean, if you look at the headings, in the statute, the law that adopted 312G, the discussion is deregulation, streamlining, is to try to give the commission less to deal with in situations where a licensee was silent for a long period of time, not to give it more, not to have it delve into the question of whether it was authorized or not, but just to give it a go, no-go automatic provision, a mechanism that either you're on the air for a year or you're not, you're off the air for a year or you're not on the air for a year. That's the only judgment the commission has to make under that statute.
The irony in this case is the commission was totally fair in giving your folks warning and indicating, you know, there's an issue here, and saying, give us the FAA materials. You seem to ignore that in the brief as if it's an irrelevancy.
Well, Your Honor,
we'll do it, and then nothing shows up.
Well, it's clear, Your Honor, and we must concede that this licensee did not proceed very competently, very, very responsively to the process. But the process is a complex one.
Nor did it transmit as required by the statute.
Well, Your Honor, we would submit that they did transmit. They were. It wasn't necessarily consistent with their license in every jot and tittle, but they did transmit under this statute.
Thank you. Would you like to save the rest of your time?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Daniel Armstrong for the FCC.
Mr. Armstrong, I just have a couple of preliminary questions. If I receive a license from the FCC to transmit broadcast signal, the license specifies the bandwidth in which I may transmit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Does the license, or is there another piece of paper that I have to obtain from the commission that tells me the site at which I must transmit?
Judge Rogers, it's my understanding, and I'll correct this if the processing staff tells me otherwise after this argument, but it's certainly my understanding that the construction permit that's initially issued specifies the site, and then the covering license also specifies the site. With respect to the colloquy between Mr. Weiss and Judge Edwards, I believe I understood him finally to admit that his literal reading of 312G would allow the New York situation. That, as I think most people recognize, is something that he resists. He doesn't want to admit that. But when he finally did admit it, I think he certainly puts on the record that their proposed literal reading of 312G does introduce an ambiguity, because if we're going to resist the New York situation, then there's an ambiguity here. And we're in Chevron 2. And the commission properly rejected the literal interpretation Eagle argues for, because it creates an incentive for people to engage in unlawful conduct in order to solve the immediate problem of license expiration. It may be true, as Mr. Weiss indicated, that there are other sanctions available that could have been used to address this conduct, but certainly the immediate problem of avoiding expiration is there, and it is always possible that regulatees will say, well, let's solve our immediate problem and we'll worry about these other things later.
So the reason for my questions was because if your answers are correct, then under Chevron step one, this case is over. Because if the license specifies where you are to transmit and you don't transmit from that location for 12 months, then the first sentence of G kicks in. Now, I understand here you can apply to the commission as they did on one occasion to get this temporary permission. And of course, another irony of this case is the record, the position that the petitioners took is that they had received FCC approval to transmit. FCC approval to transmit at this new site.
Judge Rogers, I understand your point that when they have the license and they don't have the license for the other site, mm-hmm. when they go to the other site, they're no longer, the license sort of ceases to exist. They're no longer a station. Mm-hmm. when they move to a site that's not specified in their license. I understand that point. I think that is certainly a possible reason, in addition to the reasons we've been giving, as to why 312G can't possibly mean what they say it means. But I'm somewhat limited in that Your Honor's interpretation is not one that my client advanced, so I just can only say that it is certainly a possibility. If there are no other questions.
So when you say your client, you're saying
the commission.
Presenting this case.
That was not the theory on which the commission decided the case.
Strictly as a step two case.
That's correct.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, we will rest on our brief and ask the court to affirm the commission's decision.
Thank you. All right. Maybe you can tell me, did your license identify both the bandwidth and the site of transmission?
Yes, it did, Your Honor. The attempt here by the licensee, though, was to move to another site because the previous site was unavailable. Your Honor, our position remains that under Section 312G, the language is explicit and does not tie into unauthorized operation. If it were to say fails to transmit authorized broadcast signals for any consecutive 12-month period, that would be a different story. But the language reads, if a broadcasting station fails to transmit broadcast signals for any consecutive 12-month period, any signals for any 12-month period, then the station license granted for the operation of that station expires at the end of that period. But they had a license. They had an underlying license. They were not a pirate. They were not someone that was coming forward and saying, we're just going to stick a station anywhere on the air. There was a very specific site that they were after. Our position is not that they were in fact approved, that the construction permit was approved. It's that they understood that the construction permit was approved. And that goes to the equitable and fairness argument under the amendment, the 2004 amendment to Section 312G. It's also the case that while the commission takes the position it's taking in this case on 312G and under Chevron, in numerous other cases, at least six that we were able to find, the commission has looked at situations where there was unauthorized operation. In two of them, there was silence and unauthorized operation, just as in this case. And the commission has assessed forfeitures, has assessed short-term renewals.
But staff people did.
Well, one of the decisions was the commission decision, and the others were staff decisions. But with respect to, we believe that those decisions are equally enforced because we believe Comcast is distinguishable. The commission in its brief and also in its decision endorsed those decisions. It accepted those decisions and embraced them. In Comcast, the court was at pains to say that the commission was at pains to say that it was taking no position on the staff decisions, that it had not ruled on them, would not rule on them until they were brought to the commission. Here, the commission in its decision and in the staff decision in the brief, in each situation, it stated that these decisions were good decisions, that they were acceptable to the commission. So we don't believe Comcast is applicable to this case. The question of whether it's under Chevron 1 or Chevron 2, Your Honors, we would refer the court to the NPR case, to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, the Engine Manufacturers Association case, and the Financial Planning Association in State of New York versus EPA cases. There is a long line of authority that this court has applied where the court has said, in a situation where the statute is clear on its face, is unambiguous, states that silence is the issue, that the commission cannot read into it otherwise. And effectively what the commission is saying is Congress made a mistake here. They didn't rule out situations where a licensee would go further from the city of license and would operate a totally unlawful operation. So we'll correct it. We'll correct those flaws. We'll insert a word in there, an authorized operation that will accomplish the purpose that we think the statute was supposed to achieve. But that's not the purpose that Congress said it was supposed to achieve. There's and the commission itself in in its treatment of the regular, for example, when it implemented the rules under 312G in 1996, what the commission said nothing about unauthorized operation. None of the theory that you're hearing here now was stated in that implementation. The commission said it's open and shut. We don't need a rulemaking. We don't need notice and comment. It's just what Congress said is that's what it is. If there are no further questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. We'll take the case under advisement.